I'll take myself, don't worry about it. I'll take it, you don't have to serve me anything.
There are more of them around, but it's not as punctual as they should be.
Wait another minute or so. We're continuing issues about marriages.
Issues
about issues. Yeah, we have a number of separate
issues.
Issues about issues, right? Okay, I guess we'll start. I really want you to finish up some things again. There's a lot of issues about Ishus, as you said. And I think the very last thing, just to go over very quickly, the very last point that we were talking about, and that is the issue of what you might call accommodating sinners, meaning to say if people are doing Averos, and they are not able or willing to change and do things right, is it permissible, is it advisable to kind of give them a hadracha that would still be keneged halacha, but it would not be as chomer and avera? Do I say fakert? You have no right. If they want to sin, they sin. That's their business. But you don't have a right to tell them how to sin. Or is there a svara that the same way it's a mitzvah on me to be matzel somebody from an avera, so hu hadin, there's a mitzvah for me to be matzel them from an avera chamura to an avera that's more kal. And then there are so many chilukim. Would it be a difference if the avera that's kal is still an isur d'oraisa, or maybe it won't be an isur d'rabbanan? Right. In other words, there might be chilukim between going from a d'oraisa to a d'rabbanan, vis-a-vis going from a d'oraisa that's kares to a d'oraisa that's not kares. Right. These are different chilukim. Now, there is a big machlokas of paiskim. Different paiskim say different things depending on.
Huh? Are we also discussing another question about if it's worthwhile to get them to sin less, but then make it look like the lesser sin is okay?
Well, that's part of the issue. Part of the issue is you're not supposed to legitimate things that are connected to Torah. I mean, that itself is part of the issue. That even if it's better for them, but you're falsifying the values of Judaism in that process. Now, there is a pasuk, not a pasuk, it's actually a chazal, based on a pasuk, which says, Haliteu l'rasha v'yamos, which literally means, let the rasha eat it, or feed it to the rasha and let him die, which is understood to mean that if someone is not mekabel teichecha, or they're not able to be mekabel teichecha, then their avera is their avera. Let me go over, so that would indicate you don't do it. On the other hand, we have Edus, many Gedolim, Rabbi Shaul Salanter, for example, was Madrich people. So again, just to go over a few examples, I mentioned these last week. Example number one would be Taras HaMishpacha. Let's say, for example, a few different things. Issue number one is single people are living together, and according to the Rambam, they're over on a lav, right? According to the Rambam, any be'ila shelo l'shem kedushin is an iser, it's a lav, of lo se'a kedesha. Now, in addition to that, since they didn't go to the mikvah, they're over a chi of kares of nida. So issue number one is, would it be appropriate to be madrich a couple that is living without marriage, living out of wedlock, to go to the mikvah? On one hand, you're giving them an etza to continue to live the Yisr lav, but you're taking away the Yisr koris. Right? That's one example. Another example is even if a couple is married, whether it's a kosher marriage or not a kosher marriage, they don't keep taras ha-mishpacha. They're unwilling to keep taras ha-mishpacha. At least in terms of the full minimal 12 days, right? Taras ha-mishpacha is a minimal of 12 days. And yet we know that Nida D'Oraisa is 7 days from the onset of a period, even if they're not Nikiyim. So even if a woman was bleeding 6 days, she could go to the mikvah the next night, D'Oraisa, and she's not a Nida. D'Oraisa. The whole requirement that you have to have 7 clean days is really a chumra that B'nai Yisrael took on themselves that then became a halacha. And the 5 days before that is not even in the Gemara itself. It's a din that the Ramah says based on a different Rishonim. D'Oraisa, unless she's a Zava, and most of the time, again, I don't want to get into the complications, most of the time a woman will not be a Zava. Most of the time she will be a Nida. And when she is a Nida, D'Oraisa, you don't need Zayin Nikim. So Memela, the question would be, if I could get them to go to the mikvah 7 days from the onset of a period, even though that would be a violation of the Takanas Chachamim of Zayin Nikim, it's kedai to be matzel. I could even go further with this hypothetical. Even if they're going to be bayil during those 7 days, they're going to be bayil, they're going to be nichshol benida. But l'chala pachas, I've given them an etzah where for 2 weeks a month, or 3 weeks a month, she's not a nida, right? So in all of these situations, even with your hadracha, they're going to continue to be either an iser, sometimes derabbanan, sometimes d'oraisa, depending on the scenario. But what you've done is you've minimized the avera. Now they don't care. I mean, they may not care. Maybe they care. Maybe they don't care. In other words, their attitude might be, well, Baruch Hashem, it's less of an avera. Or sometimes they don't care, but they're doing you a favor, or whatever it is. Or the mikvah could be marketed as whatever, you know, mikvahs, all sorts of marketing strategies about mikvahs. A beautiful honeymoon, you know, whatever. No, all of it is true. I'm not mezalzel in it, but there are ways of packaging things in very attractive packages, yeah.
Are there cases which are even more extreme that you're actually telling them to do something which is actually us?
Right,
you're not actually telling them to do the issa.
So this is the issue. So one has to be mechalik with a few things. hakol maidim, that if they're doing something, there are going to be times you're not mechuyev to tell them they're doing something wrong. Right, that's the whole musug. It's better to be a shogeg, not to be a mezid. And even though the Ramah, people think, that the Ramah limits that principle very much. There is a principle, but the Ramah says that only applies on a davar that is not beferish in the Torah, but something that is beferish in the Torah. The Ramah says you are mechuyev to tell them even if they're gonna do it amazing. So a lot of things you would think I have to tell them, but Nida and everything else. But the emes is, for various reasons, the bottom line along all paiskim is that if it's borer to you, they're not gonna listen. If it's borer to you, it's not gonna listen. Then even if it's beferish in the Torah, you don't tell them, because the Ramah is referring to somebody who's maimon b'Torah. Somebody's maimon b'Torah, if it's a favorite b'Torah, I gotta tell them, even if the Yetzer Hara is very strong. But when you're dealing with the type of Jew today, who b'derech klal, if they're not religious, they're not yet maimon b'Torah, the emes is, we don't say. And that's why it's budget. That's why you don't find people. I see a machal, every machal Shabbos. I don't go over to them and I say, can't do it. I mean, I'm not talking about the guys who throw rocks. That b'chlal is, we'll call that negative technique. Negative technique, because it drives people further away. It doesn't do anything. But b'chlal, I don't go over to somebody and say, hey, you know, Shabbos, you can't. Because if you're not a maimon b'Torah and the technique is not going to be mekubal, hakol maidim, that you don't, you're not mochiach. But the issue, this issue is more complicated, as you say, because this is not simply a question of my being quiet and letting them do averus. Here, I am giving them the information and the wherewithal. I am telling them how to sin. I'm telling them, if you're going to sin, do it this way. So I become a participant. I become a co-conspirator. I become a shutef, the pu'ula, in the avera itself.
You're minimizing it. The avera is there anyways. You just minimize it.
That's right. Now,
why is it considered like you're a part of it?
Now, a lifnei iver itself. Now, you might be thinking, well, isn't it mamish a lifnei iver? So, on that already, to say that you're iver and lifnei iver, that you probably are not, because if the eitzah you're giving them is making their avera less, so it's not a lifnei iver. This is really what Shlomo Zalman says that. But still, there is, number one, the idea that you are actually giving them the tools to continue to do an avera. And number two, like Shlomo said, there is a question too, that it's one thing, I let people sin, it's not, you know, I'm not going to interfere. It's another thing for me to perhaps create the impression that the Torah allows a certain thing. Now, as I say, what do they say? I don't remember this story. I told you, but somebody had needed to do something like this, and he called Rav David Cohen, and Rav David Cohen just hung up the phone on him, and he saw Rav David Cohen is a very chush of a Rav in Flatbush, really one of the big postmen in the United States. So Rav David Cohen met him at a meeting, at a conference a year later, and Rav David Cohen said, "Did you do what you called me up about?" He says, "Well, Rebbe, you hung up on me." He says, "Well, don't you know, when a posek hangs up on you, he's basically saying, do it, but I'm not giving you a psak." Now, this is a strange twilight world. You know, I'm asking. This is the twilight world in which sometimes you allow things, but you can't say that you allow them. In other words, but that's still different than this. That means I'm not mocha, I let it happen, because in the long run, it's latayelas. But that's still different, right? That's different than actually, you know, telling them, hey, you live together, but go to the mikveh and the like. Yeah.
I see someone telling on light, Shalom Shabbos. You say, well, do it, kalachayad, which is still awesome.
Yeah.
It's just
so this is part of our shayla.
Is now, that the same shayla?
It is.
Like the eight itself, because there's no issa in the eight itself.
Well, as I say, Rabbi Shlomo Salanter, Bedafka, gave longshoremen in Königsberg the Eitzah of doing Malacha Kalacha Yad. Okay? So let me ask you this question. Do you see a difference between... I'm comparing all of this the same way. Well, let's see if you see a chilek. Do you see a chilek between, hey, you're turning on lights, so hey, so do it with your elbow, do it with your knuckle, it's a drabanan. and telling a couple that is living together, hey, why don't you go to the mikveh once a month? Do you see a chok? What chok do you think?
The eitz itself, he's not saying live together and go to the mikveh, he's saying go to the mikveh.
So you're saying so you say so it's the same as the Shabbos thing. You think it should
Shabbos
be mud?
Saying the actual quota of
you're saying the Shabbos thing should be usher.
No.
I was saying for care.
I understand.
Okay. No, but I was saying the other way. Okay. Now one might argue that since mikveh is a religious symbol of purity, so it's a little different. When you tell somebody to go to the mikveh, you're kind of saying, What message are you giving? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctifies, is Makadesh, this relationship. It's a little different, right? The mikveh might be a different Indian where you're saying you're living b'aveira, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctifies the relationship. Yeah. So all I can tell you is, and then of course you have the Indian of Chilul Hashem. I'm just giving you different svaras here, in which if the mikveh is available for unmarried people, then in effect the community is sending a message: you don't have to be married to have intercourse. So some are machalik. A mikveh cannot publicly say it's available for single, but individually it could be arranged, right? So all of these inyanim are very, very, very difficult. The pesukim have different attitudes. Rabbi Yashiv v'derech klal at hashkafa haliteo l'rasha v'yamais, that you don't try to figure out ways to be matzil chaitim. But even his case was people who perhaps were mezidim and they knew what they were doing, etc. You know, this was one of the most infamous speeches. You know, Rabbi Shlomo Riskin of Efrat. I don't want to get into the issues. He's a kind of very modern, progressive, orthodox rabbi. He's the chief rabbi of Efrat. He almost got fired. It's like mandatory. The Rabbanut has mandatory retirement at 70. But they always renew as a matter of course. They just renew it if you want. I don't mean mandatory retirement at 70, but they renew it. And here the Rabbanut was not going to renew his appointment, so there's like a worldwide outcry from the modern Orthodox, because they weren't going to renew it because they thought he was too modern, even if the Rabbanut. But he was the rabbi of Lincoln Square Synagogue in the Upper West Side. He was the founding rabbi for many, many years. Still called Riskin's Shul even to this very day, although he's been in Eretz Yisrael for 30 years. So one of his famous speeches, maybe I shouldn't say, one of his famous speeches was he was giving teichicha on what he called tefillin dates, when the New York guys would go out Saturday night on dates, and they would take their tefillin along because they would be staying overnight. You know, whatever. This is the type of pirtza. Again, you've never heard of these things, so I'm sorry. But these are the types of priestess that goes on. So maybe Rebbe Yosef is referring to that when he says Halitei L'Rasha V'Yamas, as opposed to people who B'chlal don't have any sheikhas. So these are difficult issues. And the shikulim become much more complicated, because even if something is good for the Yechidim, it might be bad for the Tzibur. And therefore the Rav, or the Paisek, has to weigh the detriment to the Tzibur. Even if that, in other words, maybe it's not kedai to create such aegis, because then other people will take advantage of them, and then there'll be a zilzal in the halacha. So even if it's good for this couple to do it, it may not be good for Klal Yisrael to have such a thing. And the Rav and the Paisek has to make shikulim. These are very, very difficult. And it may be totally on the makom and the kehila, and how public it'll be versus how private it'll be. And it may also depend on, is this going to be a permanent arrangement, or is this a transition to Shmiras HaMitzvot, right? These are difficult shikulim. I just want to be merames to the problem, so you're aware of this issue. It comes up in many, many contexts, and one needs to know how to handle it.
There are in a way that it doesn't come from the wrong. Meaning they'll have someone else, either a friend or a family, right, whoever to tell them, but it can't come to Rav, because that's already the halachic authority sanctioning it, that's fine.
Well, yeah, it's similar to Rav David Cohen's idea of, you know, I hang up the phone, and that kind of says, go ahead and do it, but I'm not going to say yes. What is the expression? The expression in politics is plausible deniability. Meaning you have to be able to deny if it comes. But again, this makes people uncomfortable, and I understand this, because mimanafshach, if something is a psak halacha, then one should be able to say it's a psak halacha. And yet, even in the Gemara, we find a musik of halacha v'ein mayrin kei, or davor zeh osur li amrei b'fnei am ha'aretz. Certain haterim one does not say in front of the Am Ha'aretz, because the Am Ha'aretz is going to misapply. So the truth is, Chazal, even in Chazal, there was such a musik that a davar might be mutter, but certain haterim one is not mefarsing. In fact, even on relatively minor things, I mean, I'll give you minor things, you know, or I don't mean minor, but things that are not involving Averis Mamish, but I know in Hilchus Nida, the issues of whether you keep the Vesis of the Orzarua or you keep 30 and 31, and I think these are, you know, issues of Aina Beinanis. So some of the newer Svarim in Hilchus Nida say that in Shana Rishona, you don't have to keep day 31 for Aina Beinanis. So I saw Moshe Sternbach was very upset. He says, yeah, there are such a Teirim, but you're not mefarsim them in a general sefer. You know, only a Rav gives the heterim. In other words, even something like that, he said, you're not mefarsim heterim of Shana Rishayna in a sefer, right? So on these issues, the issue I'm talking about is much more chamor. You're dealing with mamish aces to do averas as opposed to which shita you're semichan. So certainly one has to be very, very reticent about it.
Do these things need a shine in each case, or
You can get a general psak. I mean, it depends on the psak. Meaning to say, sometimes the pesik will say. The pesik will tell you. In other words, he will sometimes tell you this is miyuchad to this case. So that means, in effect, you're going to have to re-ask it. Other times, he'll tell you this is a general guideline. So it depends on the eifin of the psak. Let me give you another example. This is going to be a very bizarre example, but it shows you how complicated this is. This is a Maisa Shahoya, although I don't know how it actually came out. Here's the case. We have I'm making up some numbers, but we have, let's say, a 45-year-old Kohen who has, you know, he's been single all of his life. He hasn't been successful in dating. He's a Shomer Mitzvahs. And he has mild to moderate Asperger's syndrome. The Asperger's syndrome is a form of autism, but it's not severe. There's a certain social awkwardness, but Asperger's people can, they can work and everything else, but they're a little, they're a little locked in the sense of not being able to establish relationships. But there's one woman that he met that somehow understands him. He feels close to her. They seem to love each other. And it's an amazing thing because all of his life he's never found anybody. He's finally found somebody that understands him, that accepts him, that he can relate to. But of course, as one would guess, she is a grusha. He's a Kohen. A Kohen can't marry a grusha. So you try to fool around, maybe he's not a Kohen, we discussed that last week, maybe there's a chisaron of nemanus, but let's assume, just for purposes of argument, that those avenues are closed. We know he's a Kohen. He duchens, right, he said a little Torah, his father was from, so you don't have Rav Moshe's svara that he heard it from a non-religious relative. Okay, so the problem is, she's a grusha. Now, if the pshat is she was married to a guy, that would make her puzzle anyway, right, that wouldn't help. If she was married to a yid, but the kedushin was pasul, maybe she didn't need a get. But to make it the hardest type of shaila, let's assume she had a bona fide kosher marriage and a bona fide kosher get. He's a real kohen, kohen drush. So let's imagine the following halachic analysis. If you look at the Rambam, you see that the lav in the Torah of a kohen living with a grusha is only after Kedushin. Almana Ugrusha lo yikach. The Yisr is Kedushin. And even though we paskin, you're not like on Kedushin alone, you need Kidei Shubal, but Be'ila without Kedushin, there's no love of Grusha. But the problem is, Be'ila without Kedushin, according to the Rambam, is the love of Kedesha, right? But the emesis, there are some Rishayim, Rebecca of Emden even goes like those Rishayim, who matir a pilegesh. They say if you're miyached a woman, not a prostitute, you're miyached a woman as a permanent mistress, they call, well, miyached means it's exclusive, it's not like a one night stand. Miyached means she only lives with you. So this is what is called a Pilegesh, and even though the Shitas HaRambam is, Pilegesh is only a special rule for Melech, and anyone else it's absolutely forbidden, but there are Rishonim that say a Pilegesh is Mutzar Lehejet. So here is the Shikol. Would it be Shayach? I'm throwing this out just as a bizarre hypothetical case. Would it be Shayach to say like this? Well, wait a second here. If you marry her and live with her, you're vadai oiver and iser d'oraisa of Kohen and Grusha. If, on the other hand, you don't marry her and you live together as a Pilegesh, then you're not oiver the iser of Grusha. Like the Rambam, you're oiver and the iser of Kadesha. But like some Rishonim, it's mutter. So would it be kedai to give this person the Eitzah that if you're going to live together anyway, do it in such a way where you're only over an Isser D'Oraisa like some Shitas, and like other Shitas, it's not an Isser D'Oraisa, as opposed to doing it in such a way where it's a Vadai an Isser D'Oraisa. So
why is it only if they're going to live anyways? Why not? Is it a Shah to do this in the first place?
To do what?
Tell them to be beyond like a Pilegesh.
I understand, as opposed to getting married.
Not just as opposed to getting married. Let's ask, what should I do? Should I never get married, or should I have her as a Pilegesh?
Okay, so that's the question. Do you give him an answer to live as a Pilegesh? Do you say, huh? Well, the question is, I understand the suffix you're asking, but the question is, you're telling a person to be Iver on a suffix in order not to be Iver on a Vadek.
Why is it necessarily a suffix? First of all, don't we possibly like to be sharing that a Pilegesh is mutter?
No, we don't.
We don't.
Rebecca Vendin does pass. Rebecca Vendin does pass him like that.
That's what the shoulder of Paschal.
In Israel? Yeah. The Rambam says you're Iver on a love.
Besides the Rambam, all the other Rishonim.
Many Rishonim matter it, that's true. But according to them, there's no problem. That's right. That's correct.
So why shouldn't we encourage this whole thing over here?
Because according to the Rambam, it's an issue of the Oraisa. So
it's Shulchan Aruch. It's a mitzvah for who? We can't call it those Rishonim?
No.
Gives that Eitzah. It says they should live together without Kedushim.
Well, that was Taisa's Shita, but Lamaisa, because of the Rambam, we don't matter.
And what would be the status of the kids?
Okay, so the status of the kids for sure would be halalim. That's an interesting issue. Meaning, because Lamaisa, it's good to know why. That's an interesting nekuda. If the Kohen and the Grusha living the Pilegesh are not over on the love of Grusha, but the Mitzias, she's a Grusha. So is Chalalus Tali on the Mitzias, or is it Tali on the Yisr? That's a good shot. I think La Lacha would be a Chalal, but that would still be the case. So, you know, I tell you, this is a Maisa Shahaya Mamish, and the person had Psak to do this. But he called me about a secondary aspect, just to show you that some people are not happy. I mean, here you have maybe it's because of the Asperger's. I mean, here you have a guy that, you know, he mamish got an Eitzah, but he says, "Well, how am I supposed to introduce her at Kiddush and Shabbos? You know, I can't say she's my wife or anything." Okay, all right. I mean, there are problems. Life is not going to be perfect for you. I mean, yes.
Huh? Big mitzvah. People see that he's.
It is. So again, that would be part of the shekel, meaning if he would live on a desert island and be by himself, that's one thing. Now they're publicly going together. So again,
I know a rabbi that remarried a grusha and he denounced his kohenship.
I'm sorry, the rabbi himself?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. The conservative movement does that thing. The conservative movement has this thing about renouncing and all this stuff. You can't renounce. I mean, it's not shaykh. If we're derish v'chayker, that, you know, there's a risar ne'amanas, you know, there are ways in which a person might be established that he was not a kohen. But it's not shaykh. It is not shaykh to renounce, you know. I actually know your case. That's very upsetting. No, but I think that could only be explained by mental illness. Because it wouldn't be. I'm serious. It wouldn't be. Okay.
Does the same thing apply? Same ones apply to other serve God, like they know the
Yes. Because again, the swara is because lo yikachu. Whenever it says lo yikachu, the lav is only al yedei kedushin, not al yedei zinus. That's right.
Technically, all these bali tshuva shadows technically the same.
Yes. That's correct. Now let me mention another halacha, which is a beferish halacha. It's very, very clear, but this is a. Kedushin. Lo yikach, Ayidei Kedushin. In other words, all I'm saying is, if a Kohen is Bayal, a Grusha, or a Zayna, and is not married to her, he does not get Malkus for the love of Grusha or Zona, because that has to be Derech Likuchen. It has to be through a Kedushin. Now let me mention one other halacha, which is beferish. It's not controversial at all. Well, in the Gemara it's machlokes, but halacha it's not controversial. But a lot of people don't know this. There are rabbanim that simply don't know this. And the reason for this is because in the Shulchan Aruch it's not in the right siman, or whatever it is there. There is a siman in the Shulchan Aruch about who a Kohen can marry. And it mentions, who he can't marry. Grusha, Zoyna, Chalala. And it doesn't mention this one, and this one is mentioned somewhere else in Hilchos Mamzeres. So sometimes the rabbi skipped it, or whatever it would be. And that is the following: the Gemara has a machlekes in the first parak of Yevamos, and also the fourth parak of Akum v'Eved Habaal Bas Yisrael, a goy or an Eved Kanani today would be a goy that is mezana with the Bas Yisrael, whether she's married or single. What is the status of the child? Now the child is Vadai Jewish. That's not the question, because the mother is Jewish, right? That's not the question. But what is the status of the child? So there is one mandiyamar that says the child is a mamzer. There is one that says the child is a mamzer. But the other mandiyamar says the child is kosher, is not a mamzer. And lahalacha we paskin, Akum v'Eved Habaal Bas Yisrael, the child is not a mamzer, and that's true even if she's an Eishes Ish. That's an important thing to know. If a Jewish married woman was raped by a guy and had a child, the child is not a mamzer. But the Gemara says, even though the child is not a mamzer, if it is a girl, she cannot marry a Kohen. Now this is a new rabbinic rule. Well, it's not like if it's the Rabbanan Deraisa. She's not called a Chalala, she's called a Paguma. Now there's Akum v'Eved Habaal Al Bas Yisrael. The daughter is Paguma, she cannot marry a Kohen. Now that means, very, very simple, that means any woman, any girl whose father, we're not talking about a girl who's a Geras. If she converted, if she's a Geras, because her mother was a guy, that will possible her anyway. I'm talking about a girl that is born from a Jewish mother. If her father is a guy, she cannot marry a Kohen. This is not contested lahalacha. As I say, the problem is the way that, I don't know, the Shulchan Aruch, it's not for me to say it's the wrong place, but it seems to be in the wrong place, because instead of putting it in Hilchos Kahuna, it's put in Hilchos Mamzeres as a negation, meaning, Akum v'Eved Habaal Bas Yisrael, the child is not a mamzer, in Hilchos Mamzeres, and then he says, but she can't marry a Kohen. Now, what is odd though is, that since that's Gufa and Machlekes in the Gemara, and many Rishonim learn it's a Drabbanan, we have this following unusual law, which is unique to this psul. Im nises, if she marries a Kohen, lo teitze. That is, this is the only psul kahuna that we make such a chiluk. If a Kohen marries a Grusha, v'shteitzech, im nises teitze. A Kohen marries a Zayna, im nises teitze. A Kohen marries a Chalala, im nises teitze. A Kohen marries a Geyeres, im nises teitze. But this case of Akum v'Eved Habaal Bas Yisrael, that the daughter cannot marry a Kohen, im nises loy teitze. Now, Rav Avadya Yosef has a long tshuva, where he says, again, he brings rayas, it's very hard to see the svara for this, but he has very strong rayas from Achronim mainly, that Yemniseis doesn't have to be she had a kosher marriage. Yemniseis leitese just means they're living together as husband and wife, even if it's not a kosher marriage. Right, so the example would, and then they can get a kosher marriage. Meaning, this is the other way around. Meaning, if the kohen is living with such a woman, and it's not a kedusha, but since they're living b'chayei ishus, even from a secular perspective, that's nichlal im niseis leiteitzei, and therefore, as a rav, I could be Masader Kedushin for them because they're all Rezimamish Chaytei Nisker. If they weren't living together yet, I'd have to say no. They're already living together? Of course, that gets you into a crazy thing. So can I give them the Eitz to live together since without the Kedushin they're not doing it? Okay. In fact, Rav Avadya then goes on, he even brings, this is even harder to be Makabel, but he even brings that even if they're not living together, but if they have a formal shiduchim, a formal engagement, he says, ad kedei kach, we would allow it to go weiter. Okay, many poskim are chaylik on that nekuda. But many poskim are maskim to the idea that if they're living b'chaye ishus, even if the kedushin is not chal, it's not a kedushin, that would be nichlal in the kula, im nisit
on the
kesef. That's a machlokes. That depends on whether the site of the Yisra of Paguma is Doraisa or Drabanan. Mm-hmm. Now, the Amnisis like Teitzei would be Mashma, it's a Drabanan, but some say not. Some say even on a Doraisa there might be such an Inyam. But anyway, as I say, this is a halacha that many, for some reason, even Rabbanim are not fully aware of. The woman is fully Jewish. By the way, there is a Shita Sataisis in Kedushin, which the Nesiva says you should be cheshish for, but we're not cheshish for it. The Nesiva says like this. The lesson of the Gemara is, Akum v'yevet abal bas Yisrael, havlad kosher. Most people learn that means she's a Jewish girl. Taisus and Kedushin brings a daya, havlad kosher v'tzarech geirus. Which means, according to Shita Sataisus, a woman with a non-Jewish father needs geirus.
Not a boy?
Even a boy or a girl. Both of them need geirus. Of course, the question then becomes, if you need geirus, why do I need a special rule of kahuna? I mean, l'chari, it's very, very schwer. How can I say, if this is l'tese, she's a geirus? Okay. Now, the nesivus says l'halacha. The nesivus, she was a gedolei apeskim, says l'halacha, that one should be chayshesh for shita sataisis, but lamaisa the veld is not naig. Rabbi Yashiv already said. Even Rabbi Yashiv, who was a big machmir in Yoni Mavisha, says that we are not chayshesh for the nesivus of shita. But some individual, but they didn't are. They'll actually require a conversion.
If they are chayshesh for tosis, then the game would be a problem with the kohen.
And then you'd have a problem with the kohen. I mean, that's really my kash on Taisus. I have to be mind how Taisus is going to fend for it. Meaning, if you're telling me Havlad Kosher is she needs a geirus, then for Shteitzach she can't marry a kohen because she is a geirus. And not only that, how could there be a din im nisus leiteitze if a kohen marries a geirus? Avada im nisus teitze. So the whole din of that sugya implies she does not need geirus, which indeed is how we pass it. Yes. So the lumdus, right? So the lumdus of this is that the geirus of a woman with a Jewish mother, like Shita Sataisus, is not the same as a complete geirus. Even without the geirus, she's a Jewish woman and she's chayevus in mitzvos, but she doesn't have full kedushas Yisrael. So she needs like an extra thing, but that's not the type of geirus that's going to pass over kahuna. And it's a lumdus. There is a lumdus that Taisus does not mean. Taisus does not mean a real geirus. Taisus does not mean the girl is a goya. But it's a type of thing that you need.
Not a machlekes in the Gemara.
No. The machlekes in the Gemara is the kid a mamzer or is the kid kosher? That's in the Gemara.
I'm saying some.
By the Gyarish Lapeli?
No, when Abed's Balbas Yisrael, everyone holds that this thing that we go after the mother to decide if it's Jewish, the child is Jewish?
Yeah, it seems to be. Everyone, I mean, it seems to be. But except according to Tysus. According to Tysus, the man, the army that says kosher requires some type of geiris. Yep.
There is such a thing as they show that the father is a ger and he has a daughter. A man ger marries a regular Jewish woman, they have a daughter. He's not supposed to marry anymore.
Yes, there is such a shita. In other words, there is such a shita that the soul of the ger is not only to the person who converted, the geris, but if the parents are gerim, certainly if a ger and a geiris, the Ramah actually brings down, a ger and a geiris, lechatchila, their daughter should not marry a kohen. And we are cheshes, I'm the first generation. Now, if only one parent is a ger, we're moderate. But there is a mandarin that says even one parent is a ger. That's why you have to know that sometimes, this is true for Bikur, mother halachas too. Many halachas about a ger are not limited to a person who converts. Rather, the child of two gerim is sometimes called a ger. He's born Jewish, but he's called a ger, lagabi Bikurim, lagabi other halachas. And the like. Okay, now let me mention, go on to another thing. Again, I just assorted questions. I said we would talk about what is the status of people that are civilly married, or justice of the peace, or people that have reform marriages, and the like. Now, this is a very important shaila. This is very, very important, especially in the world of Balei Tshuva. For the following reason, huh?
What's justice and peace?
Yeah, you go to a court, you go to a civil judge, meaning there's no religious ceremony at all, just a secular marriage. In the state of Israel, there actually is no such thing as just a secular marriage, but in the United States, there certainly is. Or you go to Cyprus. Cyprus is our Las Vegas. Just a half an hour plane ride. But there's a Chabad house in Cyprus. That's good. Actually, you can have. Okay. Anyway, so the thing is, the thing is this. This is an extremely important shaila that you have to don for the following reason. Unfortunately, as we know, the divorce rate has gone up in the past few decades, and many, many guys or girls are children of second marriages. Everybody's Jewish. No goyim here. I mean, they're born from second marriages. Now, problem is, if mom did not get a get from marriage number one, then mom who marries with marriage number two is committing adultery, and it's yitachin that the child she has from marriage number two would be a mamzer. And even if it's unintentional, even if they got a civil divorce without a get, right, it's going to be a mamzer. So, that's what I'm saying. That's going to be the pesach. So the shaila is going to be that a guy became. Now, this is not a naguna situation. We're not talking about husband number one was a bad guy who withheld a get. No, they didn't care. They didn't think a get. They didn't know what a get was. They didn't care about it. They got a civil divorce. Mom gets married. Nobody cares. 30 years later. A guy shows up at Or Sameach or Eish HaTorah, and now he wants to go out and shiduchim, and problem is Chas V'Shalom, there was no get, is there mamzer? So the mahalach is, as you said, the mahalach is the following: you only need a get if the first kedushin was a valid kedushin. But if the first kedushin was not a valid kedushin, there was no marriage. If there was no marriage, you don't need a get. If you don't need a get, you're not a mamzer. What about the fact that if the first kedushin is no good, then the second kedushin is no good either? But that's not a problem. In other words, even if the second marriage is no good for the same reason, you didn't have kosher witnesses, so what? At most, you were born out of wedlock. Being born out of wedlock is not mamzeris. Okay, so therefore the issue becomes, what makes a kedushin or a marriage valid? What makes it invalid? So we have the very, very important tshuva of Rav Moshe. That Rav Moshe, yeah, it's based on the Gemara, but you'll see why Rav Moshe is a chiddush. It sounds obvious, but it's not as obvious as you would think. That Rav Moshe says that if it's a civil marriage, or a reform marriage, or a conservative marriage, even if they live together b'derech ishus for many, many years, right? And they call themselves Mr. and Mrs., and they have a marriage license and everything else. Rav Moshe Tainas, this Kedushin is not a valid Kedushin, because Kedushin requires Edim, and if the Edim were not Shomer Shabbos, or they were Krevim or Psulim, the whole Kedushin is Batal, and it doesn't become valid. That's Rav Moshe's Chiddush, by them living together. I'll get to that. It does not become valid by them living together later, because even though we have a klal that a person is not bayal abila sinus and he's bayal l'shem kedushin, Rav Moshe says when they think that they're married, they're not bayal to make a new kedushin. They're bayal al das kedushin arishayim, and if the kedushin arishayim is no good. Now this was mamish a lifesaver. This was a lifesaver. This was matzil. Many guys, girls and guys, from the soul of Mamzeris. See, Rav Moshe was originally attacked. The Reform movement attacked Rav Moshe tremendously. They said, "Hey, you're saying our marriages are worthless?" Well, yeah, he was saying that. But Lemaisa, he was matzil generations of Mamzerim. Now, not all Paiskim agree, and I want to talk about the chiluk there. But the chiddush of Rav Moshe is. Well, first of all, let's go back to this. Let me go back a little bit. The psul is not. Remember, the psul here is not because the Masadar Kedushin is a Reform rabbi. Truth of the matter is, you don't need a Masadar. I mean, well, there's a Takana. There's a Takana Harishainim, but you need a Masadar Kedushin. But in terms of a Kedushin, the Raisa, you don't need a Masadar Kedushin. You can marry a woman anywhere you want. You don't even need a minion, although there is a Takana that you have to be Mekadesh of a minion. So the psul is not because the guy who ran the woman, more likely, who ran the ceremony was a Reform rabbi. That's not a problem. We don't care who the rabbi is. The only thing that's important is who are the Edim. Or maybe there are no Edim. So here's the question that you need to ask. I understand that if nobody there was Shomer Shabbos, so you don't have Edim. But what if you were there with somebody else that you're, at the wedding? What if there were two religious people who were men? That's the other thing. In other words, there are theoretically a few problems. Number one, the Edim. Number two, was the ceremony correct? Meaning to say, did the chasan give the kala a shavapruta? Did he say the words? Now, he didn't have to say the Hebrew words, but did he say an equivalent word? Right, so there are two different issues, meaning there may be an issue of edus, and there may be an issue of ceremony, and if it was a double ring ceremony, Rav Moshe has a tshuva that itself would be puzzle, because
she gives him,
he gives her, and she gives him, even if they do it together, because if their das is that the kedushin gets accomplished by the mutual exchange, that would be a psul. But let me just point out the following. Say again? Yeah?
They have said that a lot of modern people today do that.
That is correct. In the open Orthodox ceremony, in the modern Orthodox ceremonies, there sometimes is a double ring. What they try, and you should not do that if you're a Masadar Kedushin, but the way they try to get around it is this is what they do. They always think of ways to get out of it, and that is, well, okay, you don't know the feminist movement in the world. Meaning, many women are offended by being married by a man giving them something, and they feel that they have the right to give the man something. So they want what is called a double ring ceremony, where he gives her and she gives him. Now the problem is, if their kavana is that the kedushin takes effect by her giving him too, that would not be a valid kedushin, because the Torah says ki yikach, a man has to do the taking. But the woman gets mad. The woman says, I don't accept that. So what the modern Orthodox rabbis try to do is this. This is what they try to devise. The man gives the woman the ring. The man says her emukadeshesli. They then read the ksuva, kind of to make a hefsik, the kind of show that the official wedding ceremony is over. After the reading of the ksuva, the woman then gives the man a ring and recites the pasuk, typically ve'erastech li liolam ve'erastech li b'tzedek uve'mishpat b'chesed uve'rachamim, etc. So the Taina, She says it.
She puts it on his finger.
Sometimes she does. She puts it on his finger. But their Taina is that the kedushin is already done. In other words, what she does after the kedushin is not gonna, you know. That's the shot. These are questionable practices.
I saw Avi Weiss a few times.
Yeah. What did Avi Weiss do?
Back to back, Hariyat and Hariyata.
He did it back to back?
I've seen him back to back.
Well, okay. Listen, Avi Weiss. Avi Weiss is a terribly nice guy. I mean, I really like him as a person. But unfortunately, whatever. He's become Chutzal Machnu. Avi Weiss is the great, great modern progressive Orthodox rabbi who founded a new movement within modern Orthodoxy called Open Orthodoxy.
In Riverdale?
In Riverdale. He established the Yeshiva Chavuvei Torah, and he was expelled from the Rabbinical Council of America. To get expelled from the RCA, you got to be pretty bad. The RCA itself is a very modern organization. I think they gave him a chance to resign, but they would have expelled him, as it were. Now again, he's an Ohev Yisrael. It's similar to Shlomo Kalbach. Shlomo Kalbach was a tremendous Ohev Yisrael. He really, really, and halvai that we should be zeicha to his Avas Yisrael. But Chazal say, Ava Mekalkelis es Ashura. Sometimes a person's Avas Yisrael can lead a person in crazy directions. So Avi Weiss gave smicha to women. He does that, and back to back is a real problem. I mean, I can understand your mafsik biksuva, all right. So we wouldn't be comfortable, but the cholapachas, there is a swara that you separated it from the marriage, but to do it back to back is very, very sure. Yeah.
What is the Jewish sort of perspective on someone like Shlomo Kalbach?
Well, it depends who you ask. I mean, I think the Jewish perspective is that he did a lot of good, but he was nichshol in certain ways. So he's not a person we would hate. I think it would be a person that we would have a certain regard for him.
Is it okay to sort of sing his music?
Well, apparently we sing his music all the time. So apparently it's mutter. Now maybe the people don't know where the Nagudim come from, but in the most Haredi places. But that's not a raya. I remember I was once in Meir Shorim in December. Somebody had a cell phone, and the ringer was Jingle Bells or Silent Night. so it could be they don't know the source of where these things come from. But again, that's why, Shlomo Kalbach, I don't want to get too many biographies there. Shlomo Kalbach himself was a Talmud of Rav Aaron Cutler. And they say he was very, very good. They say Rav Aaron was machshav him, and he was a lamdin. He was someone who learned very well, and then he went into the music as a way of kirin rechayim. His kavana was to be makariv people through his nigunim, and indeed his nigunim are makariv people. But what happens is, this is an isayah. Now, listen, most of us are not as talented as Shlomo Kalbach, so maybe we're not going to reach that problem. But what happens is sometimes when you're makariv people, you sometimes cross lines. In a sense, it's a warning for all of us. Not to cross lines that are going to be inappropriate. Avi Weiss, the same thing. Avi Weiss was not so in Kira per se, but Avi Weiss was he really, really cares about people. I mean, he got arrested many times for demonstrating for Soviet Jewry. He went to jail all the time. He was Meister Nefesh in many, many ways. But then it becomes, whatever. So now let me just point out an interesting ritva, just for your idea. The ritva, we have a cloud, Warren Makas, Nimtza Echad Mehem Karei Vepasel, that even if you have 100 Adam who see something, and in that 100 is one Karev or one Pasel, the whole Adis is Pasel. That's Nimtza Echad Mehem Karei Vepasel. Now, based on that, the Ritvos says in the name of his Rebbe, the Ra'ah, Rav Aaron Alevi, the following important halacha. Let's take a regular kosher wedding, where you have two Adam that are good. But if there are krivim, if Abba and Ima are watching under the chuppah, or Zaidi, whatever it is, why don't you have a problem of nimtza echem yem karav vipasol edusim b'tel? So because of this, the Ritva brings the name of his Rebbe, that in order for a kedushin to be valid, the chassan, if there are psulim, the chassan must be miyached these edim to the exclusion of everybody else. That's why you hear at a typical chasana, and we are chayshish for this, that the Masadar Kedushin will announce, or the chasan will even say, that he is miyached these two edim, he designates these two edim, to the specific exclusion of the others. Now, and because otherwise there's a chashash of nimtza echad mehem karov upasal. This is based on the Ritva. Now, what's interesting is, let's say you were not miyached edim. You know, again, this is, I'm going to tie this in later. I'm going to have to be mamshachis. But, you know, have you heard of this international Beis Din for Agunas? Okay, this is a new Beis Din that somebody decided, a rabbi here in Israel, together with two other people, decided they were going to convene an international, worldwide Beis Din to matter all Agunas in the world. They have been denounced, no one's makabel them, but one of the terim they used was, a woman doesn't need a get, because the chassan wasn't miyached edim under the chuppah, and therefore the kedushin was not chal under the rule of nimtza echad mayam karov opasal. And they actually allowed a woman to get married without a get, based on the chassan not being miyached edim. So I just want to point out that that is absolutely incorrect, because we're chayshish for the Ritva only l'chumra, we are not chayshish for the Ritva l'kula. Meaning, we're chayshish l'chatchila to follow the Ritva in order to guarantee the kedushin is kosher. In other words, it's a chumra that we do, but me'iker hadin, even if you're not miyached edim, it's understood that if you told two guys to be edim, that's ki'ilu, you said it to the exclusion of others. So we would never be matir in eshes ish because you weren't miyached and you say nim sechon karav upasal. So there is a basin that matured, but as I say, the basin is not
makubal. They knew that he wasn't
miyached? Huh? I don't know how they knew. I didn't remember, but they knew they had either videos of the wedding or whatever, some edus that he wasn't miyached.
So in a reform wedding, it's a problem then. If you have a few for like five from people in a reform wedding, you have edus.
Yes. So that's the quite right. So that's the question. Meaning, if that's the question, why is it so pashut to us that a reform wedding you don't have witnesses? L'chayre, if there are any ksherim, right? Then, if you don't say nimtza echemeyam karav epasel to be mekel, then you have a good kedushin possibly, unless of course the ceremony itself was makokel, like double ring and the like. But some want to say like this. Some want to say that even though you don't have to be miyached kesherim, but when you're miyached psulim bevarei pasel at a reform wedding, you are miyached psulim. Right. So being miyached psulim is vada gonna pass.
But what if these
edim
don't know what they're doing? Do you have to be intentional and edus lekedushin for yom when you know that through your edus you're being established? If two people randomly say kedushin, that's called edus
psulim. The question is, do they? Well, they have to know what they're seeing. They don't have to have kavana that they're edim lekiyumin, but they have to know what they're seeing. Yeah, you're right. So we'll talk about this some more, but Bekitzer, the Iker Yesod is to remember of Moshe's Psak, that we treat Reform and Conservative marriages, and Kal V'Chomer, secular marriages, as totally puzzle. And Rav Moshe's Chiddush was, even though they lived together, Kederech Ish V'Isha, for many, many years, and they're known as a married couple, but they're not Bayal L'Shem Kedushin, they're Bayal Al-Das, Kedushin and Rishayim. Now Rav Moshe's...
What if people do this Miyachid of Pilagish and then she's Mazana? Is it Kid of Mamzer?
No, because a Pilagish is still not L'Shem Kedushin. That's what we're saying. It's not L'Shem Kedushin. No, we'll talk about that. Although the reason for that is a separate cheshbon, because you don't have a Kedushin or Rishayim. You are right. Now let me just say this. Rav Moshe's big bar palukta was actually his older contemporary in the U.S. This was Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin. You may have heard of Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin was a very big Paisek, but in a sense, he got overshadowed by Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe became more famous, but Rav Henkin was an Adam Gadol Miyait. And Rav Henkin had two big machloksim with Rav Moshe. One was that Rav Henkin held that even if a marriage was a civil marriage or a reform marriage, if they continue to live together k'ish v'isha, they're bayal l'shem kedushin, and therefore you need a get, and there is mamzeris. And Rav Henkin held very stark on that. The other machlekes said, are you allowed to make kiddush before tekiyas shofar? Big, big machlekes. You know, in the yeshiva world, but the Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to eat before tekiyas shofar, right? That's how I love it. Can't eat before tekiyas shofar. So that would mean you could drink water before davening, but you can't have anything else before davening, like coffee, whatever you have. But then you can't eat till after tekiyas shofar, which means until after musaf, because you can't be masra. You can't eat before tekiyas shofar, and you can't eat after tekiyas shofar before musaf, because you can't be mafsik between the tekiyas de miyushav and the tekiyas de muhammad. So that means, according to Rav Henkin, you can't eat, you can't make kiddush until after musaf. And that would be the halacha, but the problem is, on one hand, on a Yom Tov, you're not supposed to fast till after Chatzais, so unless you daven kevasikin on Rosh Hashanah. Generally speaking, davening is going to be finished after Chatzais.
You drink.
Huh? You could drink. If you drink water, that would negate the tinus issue. And on the other hand, people also say if they can't really have anything, their kavanah is going to be affected. So because of this, the minog in the yeshiva world, although many in the yeshiva world don't do this, I mean, but at least officially, the minhag in the yeshiva world is that we have a hafsaka after the haftarah, and we make kiddush, right? For those who want to eat. And Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva saying that because of the long davening, all of us have a din of chalashim. And so even though you're not a zaken or a chayla, but you're like a zaken or a chayla, so for this we allow you to make kiddush. Rav Henkin was stark against it. And it is said, I don't know if it's true, that on his deathbed, his last like words is Rav Moshe b'chayzer and Shafer and on the Sui Arkois. No. Says these are the two things. Okay. Anyway, you all excuse me, but you will get benched. Your. See you in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Sir, can I get a hold even when a boyfriend?